JG2. Number 14A.
So therefore, what we see, and we saw with Paul Davies, that this law is an intelligent law, and as I just said, that we don't have to inform the law of a condition. As I said, we often don't know that these universal collective and individual beliefs, which are operating on the unconscious, subconscious, and conscious level, really those subconscious and unconscious beliefs suddenly spring forward, and we didn't know what they were there, but it was the Christ idea that brought it forward. The beliefs have no power in their own to do anything. They just linger as a claim, a false claim against one's identity, some claim against God. And the Christ, when it presents to us what it is as the ideal idea, it analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates the error simultaneously. So this is an operation that is going on, and as we'll see on the level of Christian Science, we let always the principle operate. We don't interfere with it. If we don't interfere with it, we go on chopping wood, carrying water happily. We don't resist the phase translation of the analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating of error. In other words, we don't call good evil. Just because Mrs. Eddy says that the postulate of error must appear, meaning when the Christ presents what we are as the ideal idea of God, then that naturally is going to analyze, uncover, and annihilate anything that isn't like that idea. And we don't resist that. We're happy about it. We're glad that it comes up, because it comes up to be destroyed. So we don't make a reality of the Christ presenting the ideal idea and quickly analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating the error. We just step out of the way. We let that process happen without making a reality of the false claim that has come up to be destroyed. It's always come up as a healing. So in Christian Science, we don't want to say to ourselves, when the Christ is going through its retranslation, its phase translation of analyzing and uncovering and annihilating the false claim against identity, we don't want to say, well, where did I go wrong? I've been studying Christian Science, you know, for 40 years, and I've been with the pure science of Christian Science so long, and now why did this come up? What was I thinking that wasn't right? One should really realize that what one was entertaining that was right is what really, and the transparency to the 2 plus 2 equals 4 allowed any chance that we may calculate in 2 plus 2 equals 5 be analyzed, uncovered, and annihilated out of our experience. Just because the fact that because we've learned that 2 plus 2 equals 4, and then the whole claim that the calculation of 2 plus 2 equals 5 could ever come up against our identity is analyzed, uncovered, and annihilated, doesn't mean that we don't make any reality out of this phase translation, this retranslation. We let it come up, we let it be analyzed, and we let it be annihilated. Just stick with the flow. Stick with the flow. Stick with staying with what we know in perfection. Let the Christ take away what is not true. We just keep beholding in science the perfect man. Even if it looks like the little serpent, a little tiny 2 plus 2 equals 5 becomes a big 2 plus 2 equals 5 to be annihilated, that's fine. Or the little serpent becomes a red dragon before it pops and disappears. It always will disappear. We can't make a value out of something that is not a value. We must stick to what we know in Christian Science, that Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, where sinning mortal man appears to mortals, and this correct man heals the sick. And we must see that this is an impersonal principle. It's a principle as the principle of mathematics. We just stick to the principle of mathematics. And as Paul Davies said, the miracle of miracles is that science works. And so we know that Einstein and these physicists and mathematicians, when working in their realm, always first saw the spiritual evidence, or let's say the mathematical evidence or certainty of their problem, and later on it the struggle of verification went on until finally it was verified. When one of their mathematical problems was verified in the world, they often, these scientists aren't interested in the verification because they already knew it through the spiritual evidence or the mathematical evidence, didn't they? They saw it and knew it and knew that this truth was a fact, and when it was proven through life experience, well, that was good. But they knew already in theory that the theory was, if it's a right theory, a correct theory, it would bring its practice, that theory and practice are one. We certainly have seen that in the Some Objection Answers chapter in the textbook. Chapter 11 shows that theory and practice are one. That's the whole point of that chapter of Christianity at Christianity, to show the holistic universe that you can't separate theory from practice. And it handles any objections that, well, that's a good theory, but what about the practice? So, therefore, we there stick with the reality values and see that that will have an impact on the relative standpoint, which will then naturally analyze, uncover, annihilate the error. But we're sticking to the reality values at all time, and that is healing. We understand that, don't we? I mean, it's easy in theory, as we say, it's just hard in practice, isn't it? It takes education, and it takes discipline, and it takes exercise to be a master. That's really why soul is the master, because soul is always that which is tempting us, isn't it? Through life experience, in the journey from sense to soul, we're tempted to turn back to an old position, to positions outgrown. That's why we have soul, because at the point of mind, the correct idea is presented to us. At the point of spirit, we draw the line of demarcation between the claims of the second record of creation, focus only on the first record of creation. And in prayer, we see the reality of the perfect idea, the perfect concept, the principled idea. And then we would always like to just stay there, just pondering and focusing and reading about this and be in prayer about it. But we see that soul comes along and says, and now I make that a journey from sense to soul in life experience. It makes us experience this out in life experience. And so it says, all right, now you focus on what the idea that comes to you from mind at the point of spirit. And that idea is going to make us go from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. It's a journey where we're tested. In the testing, as Jesus had, the temptations at the point of soul were just to keep us on the mark, not to show us how to be a master, looking neither to the right or to the left, just staying on the mark, not to sin. Sin means to miss the mark, not staying right on the focal point of spirit. So one is tested through our experiences, but it just takes, therefore, the perseverance of soul, the humility of soul, the steadfastness of soul to stick to the perfect standpoint. Don't yield, even as I said, even when the Christ analyzes the claim as a little serpent that can become the red dragon, let it pass. Yeah, it just isn't such. I like to think here at the point that at the point of absolute Christian science, it's like we're the matador. And as the matador, we have our cape of science and understanding. And the ideal idea has been presented to us. And then the Christ simultaneously analyzes and then covers and then, of course, annihilates the claim against that ideal idea that we have understood. Well, as it analyzes it, somehow in the distance over there we see something that looks like it has two horns. Yeah, but it's way away. And then it starts coming a lot closer, and it look and the two horns suddenly have some kind of a face and a great big body and four legs, and it starts charging us, and it gets closer and closer and closer and closer. Now, as a matador with science and understanding, what do we do? Do we stand in the way and argue with that big raging bull? And say, you go back into that pen back there, you see where you came out of? No, with the cape of science and understanding, we flag it by and say, ole, and it goes off over the cliff to its own self-destruction. So when the Christ has to analyze, uncover, and annihilate the error, that's part of a law. We can't stop this translation and retranslation from occurring. So we like the first translation. We love the ideal idea that comes to us. If everything within us resounds to the nature of that ideal idea, no problem. Then it stays within the level of absolute Christian science, maintains its positive value, and keeps feeding back through the immaterial principle of the level. But if that ideal idea comes to us and doesn't find agreement between our nature and the idea's nature, that's when it becomes the little bull out in the distance that becomes closer and closer to us as the raging bull. And that's, as I say, with the cape of science and understanding, stick to the ideal idea that we have seen that has come to us in enlightenment and flag the bull on. And it will go on to its self-destruction. It has to. It is not a reality value. It is just an illusion. It is a misapprehension that something else is going on besides God. It's just a counterfeit claim. So we see then that we can't... As Max has said in his writings and to us, we can't keep these things from coming up because of the Christ, but we have the method of handling it, huh? All right, so that's the technique of healing, and that it's an easy technique. It's only something that we have to stand steadfast for, to be real Christian scientists, which is to see that we are on that standpoint of the absolute standpoint and remain there. We never leave in consciousness and go outside the 2 + 2 = 4. We always are sticking with the principle and let it automatically get rid of the error. So this is the play between absolute Christian science and Christian science. And therefore, we look at that level of Christian science as it's analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating the error through the various laws. And so we have then these laws that are analyzing, uncovering the error. They're self-operative. They're doing them. The laws are doing this themselves, as we know now. They're at work. They're always at work through this analyzing and covering and annihilating process. So we say to ourselves, what are the laws? Now we see that, of course, the level of Christian Science is under the operation of the Word at Christian Science, the Christ at Christian Science, Christianity at Christian Science, and Science at Christian Science. So we get a name of our laws from the study aid on page 78. Where we see then that on the level of Christian Science, we're dealing with the law of divine causality. And we see then that that is something that is happening, that the perfect cause will always be brought out in a perfect effect. That therefore, that if we stick to the perfect idea, it will have its perfect effect. That you, again, you can't, we can't separate theory from practice. So with that law of divine causality, we'll see that there are then, it's looked at from four different standpoints. First, the law of divine causality is looked at from the law of creativity, what we call the word order. Then that law of divine causality is looked from the standpoint of the law of translation and transformation or retranslation from the standpoint of the Christ order. Then that law of divine causality is looked at the standpoint from the law of reflection and demonstration, what we call the Christianity order. And then that law of structured understanding is looked at from the standpoint of that law of divine causality is looked at from the standpoint of the law of structured scientific understanding from the science order. Now, it's important then to see, of course, we know that these laws cover a multitude of phenomenon, and therefore that's why they take on a different structure, because they're now showing us the multitude of phenomenon that is going on within the level of being itself. So we saw, therefore, that we can appreciate that the form of the law is always looks different. It has a different form. Again, we relate back to Paul Davies that always asks about what is the form of the law. And we'll say, well, that these laws are the laws of translatability on the different levels, and they take on a different form at each level, as I said now, because they cover a different phenomenon, a phenomena on each level. So, in looking at this level of Christian Science, therefore, in a general way, we just want to build up tonality. We now know that from our work, if we turn then to page 60 and 61 in the study aid, building up the pedal note of the level, which we've done together now. We certainly know this. So we see there, for on page 60, we now can understand the pedal note of the law, in that where we can see we stick to the calculus of ideas that dissolve illusion. It's really that standpoint where the Christian Science level, as we'll see, links up again with the level of science itself, because we'll see that that principle comes and seeks the principle in us and analyzes and covers anything of a nature that isn't like that principle, where we link up again to the level of science itself. So this model of being, instead of being a flat symbol, really in our consciousness becomes like a circle, which becomes like a spiral. So it's a question of duality being resolved, any sense of isolation, atomistic thinking, false beliefs, any personal I is resolved. We can see that now, and then let's turn to page 61. I think we've talked about everything that are on here. Here on Christian Science, life lives me. We live the one life in spite of the body, where we're always living. It's always life living life. We stick to that standpoint of life living life, and let the Christ idea take away any sense through its phase transition from a physical to a mental to a spiritual claim against God. It's always some claim against God. Let's see, death, life, spiritually discerned overcomes the belief of death. So yes, we see if we just stick to the standpoint of life, living life, naturally that analyzes and uncovers any claim that there's anything going on but life. And certainly good is just overcomes any belief in evil, because evil was just good misunderstood. That misunderstanding is resolved. Spirit is over matter, because matter is just spirit misunderstood. So it looks at what is happening here is the Christ in its phase transition, retranslation, is doing a curative practice, solving negative problems, getting the victory over sin, sickness, disease, and death. So I think we understand now the tonality of the level from that standpoint. Now let's see if there are some points here that we should consider. All right. Okay. I think we've covered all that as far as the survey is concerned. Now we'll take up the law itself and really take a look at the way the law is set up, as we've taken a look at the way other laws are set up and in its detail. Now, what is interesting about this law in symbols? What do we know about this law just as far as the symbols are presented to us on the level of Christian Science? What symbols appear that haven't appeared before when we were talking about the law of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian Science, and Christian Science? Mind, spirit, and soul. So we right away see that there's been an introduction of new symbols, and now we know that those symbols are just there to cover a phenomenon that is occurring on that level that needs to be handled, that we didn't need to handle, or at the Christ idea is handling, that didn't need to be handled on other levels. Now, why do we understand that mind, spirit, and soul are here? What is the reason why they appear on this level as symbolism? It's all symbolism, and therefore we don't take the standpoint of this level. We stay on the level of absolute Christian Science, just calculating out from ideas. But why is this symbolism here? What is the Christ idea doing in its phase transition, in its retranslation? What is it doing? All right, it's the nature of God. And what is the nature of God doing on this level? It has an impact on the human. Okay, that's good. And therefore, with that impact on the human, what's the claim there that it's analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating, Richard? What is the major claim that it's getting rid of? What kind of impact? What's it doing to the human? What is the bull that it's handling? What does the bull symbolize?
Well, it's getting rid of self,
you know. Self, okay. What would be the root problem that it's analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating? All right, false beliefs. It's analyzing and uncovering false beliefs. And where do false beliefs take their symbolism? Mortal mind, okay.
Matter and body.
Luisa?
Yes, I mean, that's what I was saying. Mortal mind, matter in the body.
That it's that more a mind is handling the belief that mind can be turned in its opposite, can it, Louisa? And spirit is handling the belief that spirit can be turned into its opposite. Mm-hmm. And soul is handling the belief that soul can be turned into its opposite, which is spiritualism, isn't it? Now, Louisa, would mind, mind, spirit, and soul, is that enough to handle the root problem of error?
Well, if you didn't have those counterfeits that you just mentioned, you wouldn't have their effect coming out in life, truth, and love.
Oh, good. All right, that's right. Louisa said if we didn't have mortal mind and body, we wouldn't be struggling with the effect of death, mortal consciousness, and imperfection, the opposite of life, truth, and love. And that we have a nice diagram in the study aid. So therefore we turn to page 13 in the study aid, and we see what Louisa was bringing out, that we have under the heading understanding and demonstration, and what we were showing, therefore, why mind, spirit, and soul comes on this level is because mind, spirit, and soul are the really the essence of Christian Science level here, because mind, spirit, and soul are the root cause, the root, the noumenal cause, the root cause, which always brings the experience of life, truth, and love. And therefore, the counterfeit claim against mind, which is mortal mind, spirit, which is matter, soul, which is sense testimony, that is the root error. The counterfeit claim against the root cause, that triune of mortal mind, matter, sense testimony, really makes up the personal I standpoint, doesn't it, Richard? Mm-hmm. Builds on that, doesn't it? That's right. And so if we take the mortal mind, matter, sense testimony, the spiritualism as our basis, then what are we going to experience, Richard? The opposite of life, aren't we? The belief that we're born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, die out of matter, huh? The opposite of truth, sickness. And the opposite of love, fear and hate. So in order to handle the belief of death or sickness or fear and hate, we have to let the Christ handle the belief of mortal mind, matter, and body. The belief that in spiritualism, that we have to handle the belief of reversal, that more mind, spirit, and soul can be reversed, you see. That's why with the scientific statement of being, she says for us to know that there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in the mortal mind, matter, sense, testimony, root, cause, you know, belief. She says, handle that by knowing that all is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, which is idea spirit, and God is all in all, soul, that which makes mind and its manifestation linked together is soul, isn't it? So if we stick to that as reality value, that handles the belief that we're ever born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, or die out of matter. It handles that bull, raging bull. Now we stick to the fact of mind, spirit, and soul, and the Christ will analyze, uncover, and annihilate the claim of spiritualism. We must stick to mind and its idea, spirit and its idea, soul and its idea. Stick to that identity principle and see it true as the identity principle of the whole universe, including man, including us, including the family, including everything. Jesus beheld in science that identity principle and never yielded from it, and demanded everything to come to that state and stage of consciousness of that identity principle. And the Christ naturally is bringing everything through its face translation back to that standpoint of the identity principle of mind, spirit, and soul, so we can experience life, truth, and love.